Hey there, everyone. I hope you've all been doing safe and healthy over the last couple weeks.
I'm happy to bring to you another episode of the UWPM podcast, a series where myself and my team sit down with some incredible product leaders from across the industry. So in today's episode, we have a really awesome guest who, unlike many of our former guests, does not come from the University of Waterloo. Nonetheless, he's made a really incredible name for himself within the industry as a veteran product leader, manager, and writer. I've personally known him for a couple months now, so I can really vouch for how awesome of a guy he is. I'm happy to introduce my friend, Adam Thomas, the former director of product at Inform.co down in New Jersey. So Adam, to start off, I'm sure the audience would love to hear more about you as a person.
Well, I guess what is there to say? I love products, specifically all the interesting ways and pathways that product leads us when it comes to building great products. And I love a really good gin, right? Like I don't know if university students, you guys drink. Anyway, I love a good liquor, I'm an avid reader, so give me a good book, a nice gin, and an interesting problem, and I'll be entertained all day.
That's a really great introduction. I love how personal it was.
So I guess my first question for you would be, I want to understand a bit more about what you were doing before you dove into PM. So this could be maybe where you went to school or how you discovered what product actually was.
That's an interesting question because I think I was doing product for like 3 or 4 years. Well, kind of longer actually before I even knew what it was. But prior to my first official gig in product management, I was a founder while I was going to school. I ran a company called The Gamer Studio. It was a mid-sized video game site where we really focused on kind of younger perspectives. And I grew that for about 4 years. And from there, graduated, moved to New York, and ended up working as an engineer at a company called the Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation. Spent 3 years as an engineer there. Working on infrastructure, specifically mainframe infrastructure. And after that, switched jobs a bit, became a mainframe architect, which was their version of a PM, and the rest is history.
That's awesome to hear. So I feel like the majority of PMs that we've talked to on the show kind of dabbled in software engineering or in IT prior to jumping into PM. So how do you feel like your overall transition was then? You said that you were doing product before you even realized what product was. So what did that exactly look like at your job?
It was one of the reasons why I ended up moving to product. Well, I think one of the things that put me in that position was a real customer focus. But before I get into that, I want to tackle a misconception here in case folks are listening and think that they have to be an engineer before they get into product. Basically, me shifting from an infrastructure engineering super technical focus that I had, super technical. I mean, I was coding in assembler and getting into the depths of the hardware. Really meant almost nothing when it came to doing product work with customers. I think it gave me a bit of an understanding of you know, how the system works, but other than that, it didn't really help. Actually, I have a piece on this, like why technical skill, right? You don't need technical PMs. It's a whole other thing for me. That you can find on Product Craft. I'll send the link and I guess we can put that in the show notes. But back to your question. I started talking to customers. I had a mentor that really saw where my skills were and put me in position to see how it would go. And I was killing it, right? But still kind of halfway doing the engineering stuff. So at a certain point, they were just like, we're going to make this full-time for you. And then I got the 5 products that I ended up managing and went from there.
That's awesome to hear. So what did your first official product role look like then? So what were you doing after that position where you were still dabbling in product?
So my first product was a tool called VPS. Essentially what VPS was, it was basically managing the printing at DTC. So one of the things that DTC does is it's a depository for all the stuff that happens in the US and a lot of Europe and Asia. And because of that, it needs to hold physical copies of stocks and ownership, which, again, I'm sure most people don't know. They probably think all of it is digital, but it exists as a backup system in case everything shuts down, right? We have a copy of who owns what, right? World ends, we'll still know who owns what stocks. Don't know how useful it'll be, but we'll know. So I was in control of the printing that needed to happen, right? I was the manager, product manager, using a tool called VPS to manage the printing. And really that was my first experience in terms of a whole lot of things that I ended up using throughout my product career, such as user research. I had a mentor that basically told me, hey, if you're going to be running this, don't make the mistake that other people make and just kind of email them talk to them whenever they have a problem. Make it your mission to sit with them every once in a while. What he was teaching me was contextual inquiry, right? And he made it a point for me to go sit with the printers. Literally, some days with the printers, just around the hardware. Talk to the people that work with the printers, right, on an everyday basis, right? One of the things that he told me that stuck with me is just like, Adam, no one cares how cool the product is or what cool features that come out, right? People just want to do their job and go home. So he said, the better you understand that, and you spend time with the people actually using the product, actually doing their job with the product, the better sense you'll have in terms of what to show them and what not to. So he's real big on making sure that I was around those products and around those people. Another thing which ties back to that story is kind of interface management and design. So on the mainframe, everything is text, mostly. And so information architecture plays a huge role in how folks respond to it. As an admin, I got to see everything. But back to my mentor's point, right? Like, they don't need to see everything. They need to see what's going to help them do their job.
Yeah, for sure.
And lastly, it was my first time owning basically the customer support chain. So understanding what level 1, level 2, and level 3 support was and how to facilitate really owning that process. Quick story here. One thing I love and hated about the mainframe and about my role was that it also doubled as level 3 support. And for those that don't know, right? When you look at a support structure, level one is basically your frontline support people. Level two is where they take it when they don't understand. The level one people need to get more, the problem is a little more complex. And then level three is where the buck stops, right? So by the time it gets to level three support, a whole bunch of people know, are aware. In my case, that meant, you know, sometimes I would be getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and have 50 people on the phone, basically saying, Adam, when is this going to get fixed? Right? You're talking about that level of pressure. And in terms of understanding and owning that chain, right, the thing I had to learn was, hey, everybody's going to want to push it to level three. Your job is to create strong boundaries between level one, level two, and level two, and level three, so that the things that get to you are really big problems and not things you can solve in 15 seconds, right? Because it doesn't just affect you. It affects the other 50 people on the phone that now have to be aware of how this works. I think that was my first time with that. I remember, I think as soon as I got this product, I had made a change, and then I realized that I had been getting called at 3 a.m. Like once a week for an entire quarter. Right? Because I made the rookie assumption of like, okay, this is a small change. It's not going to affect how anybody sees anything. However, it changed how everyone saw everything. But since I was level three support, they let everything flow back up to me. I don't think it was a lesson. I think it was just kind of human behavior, right? Like, I don't know this. Shoot it up the chain. I don't know this. Shoot it up the chain. So I remember asking my mentor for advice, and he said, hey, have you ever talked to level two support or the operators? And I realized, no, I haven't. And this was another lesson in terms of, there are more than just users that use your product. There are other people that are affected by your product. So you better know who they are. I took myself, I spent a night, like I spent overnight with him one day, and I just sat with him. And the problem luckily came up, and then I saw it, and I solved it right there. And then I saw kind of what the problem was. And because of that, I drew up new training documentation. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I never got a 3 a.m. phone call about that, at least. Yeah. right? And it's just a lesson of, like, pay attention to who, like, look at the entire process and research affects everything. So to get your hands in there, get in there, and sometimes sit with folks. Just sit. And a lot of times you'll end up saving yourself a ton of time and getting sleep.
For sure. Absolutely. So moving on to your most recent position then as the director of product at Inform.co. So how do you feel like over the years your idea of products changed, which has allowed you to become the director at such a big company and lead such a big team?
I think over the years, what kind of got me prepared for that was being a founder twice by the time I got to Informed. Mm-hmm. This was super helpful because as a founder with teams before then, it forced me to think about the human side a lot more. For sure. And one of the things I was able to leverage when I got there was some of the lessons I had learned in terms of the management side and helping other managers there level their skills up. And I think that goes into what being a director is. Right? It's more than just the product stuff. Like it's table stakes that you know the product stuff. It's really how well can you how well can you affect the entire organization as you build a team. Some of the other things that helped, I was a strategist at one point for a company called Philosophy. And I consider Philosophy like my finishing school, like my master's degree in product. Because of there are two major reasons. One is I was the youngest product person there by like a long shot.
Wow.
I had maybe 4 or 5 years of product experience, and one of my mentors that he hired me there, right? He's currently at Facebook, but he was also a part of the Hotmail team back in the 90s. He worked for Kayak and Waze. My peer was an Amazon guy. The manager for the West Coast was a former Disney PM, UX UI guy. Right, so like I'm sitting here amongst a whole bunch of like really experienced folks that weren't shy about critique and really leveraging that experience to help. So that's on one side was that. So I got a huge leveling up by really talking to them. Hell, I still talk to both of those guys to this day. like I have a call with one next week, and my manager at the time there helped me with my talk, a talk I had to give next week. So like they're still in my life, they're still helping me. The other thing is because it was a consulting firm, I got to go do a whole bunch of different projects that. Like ranged in all types of utilities and all types of fields. So an example of this is like when I first started, I worked on gas tanks.
Yep.
So like, if you ever wondered what happens when somebody crashes into someone crashes into a gas station, if you ever wonder what happens, my first project was working with the company that deals with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, helping them digitize their operations. And literally my next project was a VR engagement ring startup, right? So like you didn't know where your projects were coming from and what type of project it was. So you had to be very flexible. And you know, since it was consulting, right? Like, and how they structured things, a lot of times, like you didn't get paid. Well, the company didn't really get paid until, you know, the job was really complete. So, it meant that you had to be good or you had to be gone. So, a combination of those two things, and spending a year there was very impactful to my time at Informed because I had a huge toolbox to both teach. And use in order to level up the product.
Okay, for sure. So what would you feel like is your favorite part about being a product manager? And then what's kept you on this pathway for so long?
My favorite part is probably the puzzle that customers present. And what I mean by that is every customer is different and they all present different problems. And it's your job to figure out that puzzle to see which problems matter more. And, you know, you have a bunch of tools at your disposal from, you know, interviewing them directly to looking at their usage patterns to seeing how they pay for it. But like you have to go figure out that puzzle. And I think when I'm working on product every day, I get a new puzzle in front of me. So back to solving problems, right? That's kind of the thing that drives me. I think I was telling an engineering manager at Inform once, like, hey, you know, I love it when 9 o'clock hits. Mm-hmm. Like when 9 a.m. hits, it feels like it's like the starting gun of like the day. And like, we're out here, we're ready to go. There's a whole bunch of new problems for me to figure out, and I'm getting more data, and it's awesome. So that's what gets me kind of going. What's kept me there, right, is I've met my type of weird with product people. One of the reasons why I push the non-technical thing so hard is that some of my favorite product people weren't ever technical, or they were really bad engineers, mm-hmm. or but they were cool musicians, or they were cool historians. Building a friendship now with a guy that was a philosopher before he became a product manager, and I'm learning great things from him. Product is a very diverse field when it's at its best. Because you know, learning the tools and having the toolkit is awesome, but like you'll have different. There's a whole bunch of different points of view that really make this thing go. So I think the people that I've met while doing this and hanging out with and nerding out about all these different topics, from psychology to infrastructure, to systems thinking, to decision making, to pricing and finance. You get to nerd out about so much, and then there's so many puzzles. That's what kind of keeps me in there and keeps me going.
I find that really interesting, because at least from my understanding so far, being only like maybe a couple of years in product, I've noticed that the majority of product managers that I work with, they do come from some sort of computer science, engineering background. Although I do agree with what you say, is that a technical background is not necessarily required. Although, would you say it helps to have a technical foundation or to have some technical knowledge prior to working on a tech product?
Yes, but, and I mean, this is a very big but. It's got to be a supremely technical product. And I mean, like, where we're talking about on the edges of, you know, AI or finance, or like places where like you kind of need that extra brain power on the systemic side, because you're going in a brand new direction. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, most tools are like, with the barrier of entry that we have that continues to get lower, decent documentation, and right, a good engineering manager to just talk about this stuff, or a good architect, right? Like, if you have an architect, you probably don't need a technical background, right? Like, because you're just going to stand in as a backup architect, and all of a sudden, like, either there's going to be too many cooks in the kitchen, or, right, you're going to get shoved out anyway, right? So like all that technical stuff, it doesn't matter. And I go into this also in the technical PM article, right? One of the things that I was talking with my new friend yesterday, right? The one that's into philosophy, right? The one that was a philosopher and then ended up going into product management, was the professionalizing of product. And the fact that product is such a complex field, the professionalizing of it does it a disservice versus another field, like any other field that ties into it. But you can professionalize engineering, because engineering is very, as complex as it is, it, like, the boundaries are really known. With product, there are no known boundaries, so by eliminating pathways of thought, we really lose out on what we can learn and the different types of systems. Yes, it's the short of it.
All right, that makes sense. So I guess from now, I kind of want to diverge from the topic of career. And so I know you're currently a product author or a product writer, if I'm correct. So what advice can you give existing product managers who are looking to give back to the community in the same way that you are? So that could be maybe like starting a blog, starting a podcast, or just starting any resource that can help other people.
Well, I think the easiest thing is to start. When I talk to a lot of product people, a lot of them assume that, or have been told, like, all of this stuff has been talked about, right? And it hasn't, right? And I think that's the really cool thing about, you know, one, what you're doing here with the podcast, right? We're already in just this conversation alone, right? We're going into different things and, you know, we're seeing different perspectives.
Yeah.
Whenever you write or whenever you create, right, you're entering new things into the atmosphere and we all get better, right? I don't know if you know about Buckminster Fuller, but for those who don't, Buckminster Fuller, kind of a public intellectual architect, and a lot of really cool ideas. Some of them, most of them failed, but like but he inspired a generation of folks succeeded. So yeah, really interesting person. But one of the things that he used to say is the universe is apprehended non-simultaneously, right? Which means we all have a different piece. We all have different pieces to this thing. And the more we give, right, the clearer it gets. So I challenge, and it's interesting that you asked this because I used to have a workshop dedicated to this. And I've been looking at it, and I've been thinking about rolling it back out. But I challenge your listeners, right, to, after this podcast is over, take out a sheet of paper and in 10 minutes write 10 things you have an interesting perspective on, and I guarantee you have 10 things. Everyone has 10 things. And when you start mixing and matching those things, and you start creating things based on your expertise, like, it's magic can happen. Mm-hmm. So I think one thing I really want for those who want to give, and for those who think that they have a point of view, yes, you do. Go make something. Go give it out to the world. You'll the other benefit, what you'll find is, I'm sure you're finding this, right? These conversations, this podcast flows back into your work, and you feel recharged. You get new points of view to apply to the work. And once they see that, right, it makes them even better. In this case, being an even better PM to the teams that they serve.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely feel like the first step is to just get your foot out the door. And of course, it's always going to be, you know, that first blog, that first podcast, that's going to be the most difficult thing to show to the world. But I feel like once you finally get through that and you're working on something that you're passionate about, it'll just come with time.
Yeah, it'll come with time. Like, it'll be bad. It'll be bad, but it'll work.
Yeah.
Right? It'll work. You just gotta hold on, right? You just gotta hold on. And you gotta keep making. Keep creating.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess my last question for you would be, so as someone who has spearheaded product at several companies and had all these great experiences, what are the top characteristics you look for in new product manager hirings?
The three things I look for. One is curiosity, and I think kind of outlined in this conversation we're having now, but Right, I'm really interested in people that can't leave something alone. I love to ask questions. Like to ask follow-ups. Like to pick up the book. Like to nerd out about it. Like to seek different perspectives. Right, because I think that's what's going to make you successful as a product person. It's just that natural curiosity, just to keep digging. Kind of very similar to a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
The next is a translator. Like, I need someone that is able to hear things and then consider who's in front of them, and have the ability to just naturally make sure they get the information, the piece of information that they care about, right? Which is a lot harder than it sounds, right? Because it requires a lot of conversations, and it requires you to understand what both sides are saying. And it requires a level of empathy. And lastly, someone needs to be a diplomat, right? I look for people that are able to bring people together and to calm tensions, but also to stoke tensions when they need to be stoked, right? Like, there needs to be, as a diplomat, you have to understand, you know, when to push the brake and when to push the gas in order to get the results that you want. So, you can't be afraid of confrontation, but you can't be in it just for confrontation. Right? Like, you got to be able to leverage all the tools in your toolbox to get the best results out. So yeah, and those are the three things I'm really looking for when it comes to looking at new
products. Yeah, I definitely think those are three points that a lot of us students can take away, seeing as we're always actively applying for internships, and then a lot of people are actively applying for full-time jobs. So those are definitely characteristics that everyone should be keeping in mind when they're stepping into an interview or something like that. So I think that's all the time we have for today. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I want to say thank you for allocating your time to provide all this insight to the students out there who are actively looking to get to a similar place that you are, where you're a veteran product leader, you've spearheaded product at so many places. So thank you so much for allocating your time.
Of course, this was a pleasure. And thank you for adding to the discourse, and thank you for providing a platform for folks to at Waterloo and other places to pick up something and learn. So kudos to you for this and creating the environment.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So thank you everyone for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed today's episode. See you guys.